Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. See Eveline's on. Hi, Eveline. How are you doing? We'll see who else joins maybe later. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our service this morning. Thank you. Yes, as Eveline says, we're back to normal. Hallelujah. Thank you for safe journeys. And thank you that we're back in amongst the saints. We thank you for the local church, Father, your vehicle for your movement on this earth. So we thank you for this place, these people, and thank you that we're here this morning. Thank you for our worship. Thank you for the testimony, the scriptures. And thank you now, Father, that we're going to gather around your word. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. As we do, we speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, understanding so these seeds are not stolen, understanding so these seeds will germinate and grow and produce the fruit that we desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just kind of laughing at Eveline's thing there, getting back to normal. You know, is it ever normal here? Hallelujah. That's the last thing we want to be, is normal. Okay, first sermon of 2023. It's one that could be a series, but I'm just going to teach it as a one-off. I'm calling it Gifts from God. It was a sermon I worked on in India to preach to the pastors up at Madra, at Pastor Rayo's Bible School. He's got about 40, 45 pastors that he teaches. And it was about 30, 35 there maybe. Not sure. Great bunch, passionate about grace. Well, passionate about Jesus, but passionate about grace. Eager to be taught, eager to learn, eager to take it away and pass it on. The best bit for me was listening to Nunzi teach. Well, not listening to Nunzi teach, but as Nunzi was teaching, I was sitting watching this guy two rows from the front about jumping out of his seat. He was shouting the scriptures that were coming. He was seeing where Nunzi was going. He was getting so excited. And I can just see him back at his church teaching that. And those guys reminded me about 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." It really felt like we were being part of that process. This is what I want here as well. And it felt like we were part of that process in Madra. I'd learned something. I was teaching the pastors, and they were going to take it to teach other people. You know, we're in that long line of saints, that continuum that I preached on last year. And it was lovely to be part of that. It was a real privilege to take what I thought the Lord gave me and teach the pastors. So I want to briefly cover that this morning. It was unusual for me. I went to India with no sermons, no plans, nothing to preach, nothing to teach. Well, not on paper or on my tablet. I just thought, you know, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to preach what's in my heart and what I know. So went to India, no plan teaching, nothing prepared. And I got on the plane and I started praying. And I felt God gave me this topic for the pastors. So this is not preaching, this is teaching. And I've never taught this in this format before. Nothing's new, by the way. It's all revision for you guys, I would imagine. But this is the first time I've taught it in this format. And I was really excited preparing it in the week or so before I went to Madra, or we went to Madra. And I might meditate on this and get a 16-week series out of it, Pauline. I don't know. We'll see. But I want to talk this morning about the gifts of God. Gifts we have received from God. And gifts that we can see manifest in our lives. And I want to talk about 4 different types of gifts. So this is a new bit for me. This is teaching these in this format. There's 4 types of gifts that we get from God, or that we hear about. So we can have a gift of grace. There are gifts of grace through faith. gifts of grace through knowledge. And there's a fourth one that I hear about sometimes, gifts of works. Now, I believe these different gifts and how they're received and how people understand them is not well known in the church. When I say the church, I mean the broader body of Christ. There's wrong doctrine out there. There's people, for instance, asking for things they already have. They're asking for a thing that is a gift of grace, and they've already got it. They're asking for something that is a gift of grace through faith, and they've already got it. They're not sure how to get these gifts of grace through knowledge, and they're looking to do works to get these gifts. Trying to gain something in their own effort, for example, when it's already a gift from God. So I want to look at these four different types of gifts very briefly this morning. And I'm going to do the fourth one first. This is a really easy one. Gifts of works. There are none. Ta-da. There you are. None. Nothing. We live under the new covenant. We don't live under the old covenant. There is no legalism anymore. There's no works of the law, no good works required for anything. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing good works, but I'm saying there's no good work we can do to receive something from God. Because what we'll see is, the truth is, we've already got everything from God. So there's nothing we can do to receive it. You know, sometimes I do the, can you give me my Bible, please? Can you give me my Bible? And I've got it already. Well, I did that with the pastors in Madra, but it was with a bottle of what they call Thumbs Up. It's a Pepsi drink that they have in India. It's pretty rank, but it's like, it's all they have, so you have to drink it. So I was saying, you know, can I have a bottle of Thumbs Up? Can I have a bottle of Thumbs Up, and I've got it already? So they kind of grasped that. So there's nothing we can do to get anything from God. Oh, but I need healing, Vic. There's nothing you can do in terms of works to be healed. I'm in lack. I'm in poverty. I need prosperity from God. There's nothing you can do in terms of works, in terms of fasting, praying, good deeds, you know, to twist God's arm to make you prosperous. There's just no works that you can do to receive anything from God. I'll show you all that we need, His goodness. Everything that we need from God, everything that we want from God is either a gift of grace through faith, or a gift of grace through knowledge. Working for gifts is old covenant. It's legalism. It's not for us. I think we're pretty up to speed with that, but we need to be aware of it. Because I don't know about you guys, but legalism is subtle. And it can slip in sometimes. But we need to be aware of that. There is absolutely nothing you can receive from God through works, because we're under the new covenant. We get everything through those first three gifts. Gift of grace through faith, gift of grace through faith, and the gift of grace through knowledge. So let's look at the first one, gifts of grace. These are gifts given by God just out of His goodness. No part played by man. You get them by being born. You get them by being alive. If you're sitting here breathing this morning, some of you look as if you're alive. Hey, there we go. If you're alive, you've got these. I've got a whole list of scriptures this morning that are some of my favorite ones. You'll know what they're coming. Let's start with Colossians 1, 16 and 17. An amazing gift of grace. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by Him, that's Jesus Christ, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All things created by Him. All things created for Him. Life is a gift from Him. It's an amazing gift. What a gift. What a privilege to be part of his creation. I mean, I read somewhere about, you know, if you take all the science and all that kind of evolution and that there's nothing out there, the chances of us being born are just minuscule. Absolute, the probability is just huge, if you think of that. But that's not how we think. We think that God Almighty created you, Polly, giving you the gift of life. Grant, Jesus created you, give you the gift of life. That's just awesome. That's the first gift of grace. And by him all things consist. He keeps this all together. Another gift of grace. Kept by the power of his word, or the word of his power, isn't it? His power keeps us all together. You know, it's not the nuclear force. It's not Higgs boson. It gives us mass and keeps us together. It's Jesus Christ. What a gift. So that's the first one, life and creation, gift of grace. Then there's another two that are gifts of grace that not enough in the church, not enough people in the church know this, that they're gifts of grace and that everyone has them, no matter who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:18 tells us about the first one. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone has been brought, had the possibility to come back into a relationship with God. That gap caused by sin has been dealt with. We have been reconciled to God as a gift of grace. I always gift of grace. Nothing you can do to receive it. You receive it when you're born. Anybody and everybody. Nothing you can do or nothing that you've done helps you to receive that gift of grace that is reconciliation. One of my favorites, Luke 2:14. 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Notice that doesn't say peace on earth, end of war. Doesn't say that. It says on earth peace. What is that peace? Goodwill toward men. Peace, reconciliation was brought to mankind, brought to the earth. Goodwill towards men from God through Jesus. A gift of grace. He willed it. He did it. He wanted it. Every man gets it. No matter what you think, no matter what you say. Richard Dawkins has been reconciled to God. He doesn't know it. But just because he doesn't know it, doesn't believe it, doesn't mean it's the truth. Yeah? What the Bible says, not Dawkins. Colossians 1:21. Is that right? Yeah. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. See that? Yes, there was a gap. Yes, you were enemies. Yes, you were alienated from God. Everybody was, because of the sin issue. But he dealt with it. Not we, he. Yet now hath he reconciled. Nothing to do with us. All to do with him. It's a gift of grace. It's a consistent message in the scriptures. Goodwill toward men, toward mankind, toward humanity, all mankind, all humanity. Look at Ephesians 2:13. That's Ephesians 1:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Brought close by Jesus. Gift of grace. Nothing to do with you. nothing to do with mankind. All him, the first or second gift of grace. And then you have the one that really causes a problem when I teach it. This is the one that I remember I taught this and then I dreamt at night I got burnt. Remember that one? When I was teaching about this thing, I remember they took me out and burnt me. Thankfully, not in real. But this is forgiveness. You know, most believers don't understand this, don't believe it. Forgiveness is a gift of grace. Too many think we have to perform to be forgiven. We have to ask for forgiveness. No, it's a gift of grace. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The only way forgiveness comes is through the blood of Jesus, because he willed it. He wanted it. It's his grace, his goodness, his mercy, his compassion. Where does it talk about us there doing anything? Nothing. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace through the blood. The second Jesus' blood flowed on the cross, you were forgiven. For everything. Oh, what about the sins in the future, Vic? Well, when Jesus bled, all your sins were in the future. In that sense, all your sins are the same. It doesn't matter if your sins are in the past, the present, the future. In the eyes of God, they're all the same, because forgiveness flowed at the cross. All your sins were in the future, in the human timeline. But God's out of that. God can forgive everything past, present, and future, because he's out of that timeline. He saw them all. They've all been forgiven. Forgiven through the blood of Jesus according to the riches of his grace. A free gift of grace. Nothing to do with us. Nothing required of us. That's the definition of a gift, isn't it? Yeah. How many of you paid for your gifts at Christmas? Okay, probably apart from some of the parents maybe that bought the stuff for the kids for themselves. But let's ignore all those. But normally when you get a gift, do you pay for it? No. Why? Because someone else gives it to you as a free gift. That's the definition of gift. If it's not free, it's not a gift. You know, you give someone a gift, you don't say, well, what are you giving me? I spent 30 quid on you. What am I getting in return? It shouldn't be like that, Michelle. That's not how it's supposed to work. Amen. We don't normally express things in return, or should not, otherwise it's not a true gift, a free gift. Reconciliation and forgiveness are true gifts, are free gifts. Amen. Colossians 1:14 just says the same as Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I love that the translators, in my Bible it's got even in italics, which means it wasn't there in the original. It's like the translators thought, nobody's going to believe this. We better put even in. Even the forgiveness of sins. I think that was deliberately put in because there's still folk that don't believe they've been forgiven. Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. God's looking down thinking, I did? Why are you asking for something that you have? See, that's the biggie. That's the biggie. Because if you're asking for forgiveness, there's something in you that still believes you've not been forgiven and that you're a sinner. And we're not, we're saints. We don't have to ask for something we already have. Thank him. Absolutely. 50 times a day. Oh, maybe that's just an exaggeration. I told you a million times, don't exaggerate. The old ones are the best. Tell him all the time, thank him all the time for his forgiveness, but please don't ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness flowed on the cross through the blood of Jesus. But that's just for believers, Vic. It wasn't Ephesians, Colossians written for believers. Yeah, it was. So it's just you're only forgiven once you're a believer. No, it's for the unsaved too. All mankind was forgiven at the cross. Look at 1 John 2, verse 2. And he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the propitiation for our sins. Now, this part of 1 John 2 is written to believers, my understanding is. So John's writing in this part to believers. So he says, and he is a propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation means payment. Jesus paid for not only our sins, believers, hallelujah, thank you for that, but for the sins of your unsaved neighbor. Of all those Buddhists, Hindus, atheists out there, they've all been forgiven. The whole world, that Greek word means cosmos, the whole world and everybody in it. The sins of the whole world, saved, unsaved, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, atheist. And it is all sin, not some sin. Now, I know there are certain doctrines out there in the church that talk about different types of forgiveness. And I made the mistake. I did what I tell you always not to do. What do you think I did? Googled forgiveness. Right? Googled types of forgiveness. Please don't do it. Right? Googled types of forgiveness. Do you know there are two types of forgiveness? Conditional and free. There's also four types of forgiveness. There's seven types of forgiveness. If you look at all these different doctrines. I don't know about you. My Bible talks about one type of forgiveness. Talks about forgiveness. One that just forgiveness. I see Ephesians 1:7. I look at Colossians 1:14. I look at 1 John 2 verse 2. And it talks about forgiveness. Only forgiveness, all forgiveness, one type of forgiveness from Jesus because of the blood of the cross. And no prerequisite on man to perform. Nothing. Now, this is quite a secret in Christendom. The vast majority, I believe, and my brothers and sisters are asking for forgiveness and are taught to ask for forgiveness. I did it. Asking for forgiveness. And then it would confuse me. And it would be, okay, Lord, I remember some of my sins. I'm pretty sure about that. I remember some of the big ones. So will you forgive me for those? But will you also forgive me the ones I've forgotten about? Where's that in here? Now, please just cover everything that I've done. That's meaningless, isn't it? Just go day by day. Oh, forgive me for everything I did today. Oh, forgive me for everything I did today. Forgive me for everything I did today. What does that sound like? That sounds like repeated sacrifice, repeated sacrifice, repeated. That's old covenant. It's not new covenant. And then there's doctrines that say, well, you just need to ask for forgiveness for the big sins. Well, what are the big sins? It's like there's no list of big sins. There's not different levels of sin. Let's just say for I take a tenner out of the offering pot and just put it in my back pocket. Is that a big sin? What about if I take it all? Oh, that's a much bigger sin. Which one do I ask forgiveness for? It's all gone back. Somebody, you can feel my pockets later, it's all back. Who grades the sin? Who grades the sin? You, your priest, your minister? Who grades the sin? What's big, what's bad? I tell you, God's graded sin. It's all bad. But here's the good news. It's all been dealt with. All been dealt with. It's all been forgiven. Hebrews 10:12. It's all the old classics this morning, isn't it? Hebrews 10:12. But this man, Jesus Christ, that's what it's talking about. after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You all know what's coming. When do you sit down? When your work's finished. One sacrifice for sins forever. Forgiveness had to flow then for all our sins, past, present, future. It couldn't mean anything else. Evelyn, you're right. Forgiveness is probably the greatest gift of all, which I'm coming on to, because you know what? Because we've been reconciled and because we've been forgiven, that leads on to the next ones, which mean we can choose to be saved and made righteous. But we need reconciliation and forgiveness. Everyone needs to be reconciled and forgiven in order that they can move into salvation and righteousness. God wants every man to be saved. We know that, don't we? He wants every man to come to repentance. He wants every man to be saved. You can't be saved unless you've been reconciled and forgiven. Ergo, therefore, you could write a mathematical formula about this. Therefore, everyone must have been reconciled and everyone must have been forgiven already. Or you couldn't be saved. You couldn't be made righteous. So it's logical, Captain. Has to be. One sacrifice for all sin dealt with at the cross, forgiveness flowed at the cross. Now we know, of course, not all men benefit from their reconciliation and their forgiveness. We know that. And this is where we start to talk about gifts of grace through faith. When we move from being reconciled and forgiven to benefiting from reconciliation and forgiveness. Because these gifts are required prior to salvation and righteousness. Look at Isaiah 59:2. And this is one of my interesting verses. Because when I first came to the Lord, I had a pink highlighter. And my pink highlighter kind of highlights what I was being taught and what I was focusing on. And then later on, when I moved into the grace message, I got a yellow and a green highlighter. So yellow, green's grace. Pink's kind of law legalism. But Isaiah 59:2, which is the only thing highlighted on this page, says, "But your iniquities have separated from you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from me, he that will not hear." Now, why on earth did I want to highlight that? That's not good news. But you know what? It's the truth. You know, our iniquities had separated us from God. Our sins had led him to hide his face from us. His sins had heard that made it so he didn't hear us. But that was old covenant. Jesus came and has dealt with that. We've been reconciled. Now he's listening. Now he's going to put his face toward us. We were away from God. We were apart from God. Sin, that separation, had to be dealt with, and it was, by Jesus, and not just for believers, but for everybody, so that everybody could move into salvation, have the possibility of salvation. To choose salvation for themselves, they had to be reconciled and forgiven as a gift of grace. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14, what does that say? This is the kind of sermon, I've just got lists of scriptures. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We looked at that. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Isaiah 59:2. Yeah, there is that wall. There is something between us and God. Ephesians 2:13 and 14. Jesus has removed that wall. That thing is gone. The sin issue is no more. Yes, there is sin in the world, but there's not a sin issue. It's been dealt with at the cross as a gift of grace. What was between man and God has been removed by Jesus as a gift of grace. Now we can move. Any man can move as an act of free will, as a choice, into the gifts of grace through faith. Gifts from God, but we receive them by faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 10. verse 9 and 11, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Believe, you will be saved. Believe in Jesus and his finished work. That's all that's required. No fasting, praying, working, legalism, nothing. No works. Believe and you will be sozoed. It's what that says. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified, that's the same as righteous. That's what that word is. Salvation and righteousness are one and the same. Gifts of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. When you're saved, you're made righteous. If you've been made righteous, you've been saved. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Made righteous. Not becoming more righteous. Not moving towards righteousness. Not becoming more or less righteous. Made. That's another lie, doctrinal lie, that we need to work to become more righteous. No, we are righteous or we're not righteous. And it's righteousness has nothing to do about what we do. It's about who we are. Made righteous, not become, not moved towards, not made because of our works. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. This is a green verse. This is the green verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, how clear does scripture need to be? I mean, that doesn't need interpretation. Don't even look at the Greek. Just read the English. I mean, by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God. But faith in Jesus sees you step into that gift, receive that gift. Yes, it's provided as a gift from God. But you receive that salvation and righteousness through faith. And it's made possible because of the gift of grace, that is forgiveness and reconciliation. Gift of God, not through works. I mean, it's plain as the nose on my face, and I've got a big nose. It's plain. You kind of nay-see that. That's not very good English, is it? You kind of nay see that. Ah, oh, get me home. These gifts of grace through faith, salvation, righteousness, wonderful gifts of grace through faith. And when we get something at the same time, because I mentioned that word, sozoed. So when we're born again, we're sozoed. Saved. Instantly, you get your ticket to heaven, salvation. Instantly, you're made righteous. But you also get lots of other things instantly poured into your born again spirit, healing and wholeness and joy and peace and prosperity and abundance and acceptance and adoption. You get those at the same time as the salvation and righteousness, because they're part of salvation. Now, your ticket to heaven, your righteousness, instant. You get them straight away. They're manifest straight away. That second you have faith, God sees you in heaven, sees you as righteous. Now, he also sees you as healed and whole and prosperous and abundant. And in a sense, they're gifts of grace through faith. But we don't see them manifest instantly. This is what I think is called a gift of grace through knowledge. So you have them as gifts, but they're not manifest immediately. So we need to see how to make them manifest. Romans 10, 9 and 10, we've already done that. Saved, that's sozoed. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We know that's talking about our born-again spirit. Because we know when we were saved, our soul, mind, will, and emotions, and our body didn't change. It wasn't created new. It's our spirit that was created new. And all those great things, healing and wholeness, prosperity and abundance, joy, peace, poured into your born-again spirit, created new. So in a sense, that gift is a gift of grace through faith. But it's not the same as salvation and righteousness because you don't see them manifest automatically in your body. To see it in your body requires knowledge. Now, it is what God wants. We know these verses. John 10:10. The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm not interested in that. I am come, that's Jesus Christ, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Zoe life, God's kind of life. Not only just that, but in abundance. That's what he wants for us. Where does sickness and poverty fit in with that? Nowhere. 3 John 2. See, if you were doing buzzword bingo, you'd be getting all my good ones. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. God wants healing and wholeness. He wants abundance of prosperity manifest in your life. So that's what these verses say. Above all things, he wants you to be in health and prosper. What's not clear about that? Above all things. He wants us to have them. He has provided them for us. But we need to do our bit this time. So he's provided healing for us. Let's just look at healing and prosperity. The two controversial ones. Let's go with it. There are still some people that don't want to be healed. Don't think God healed us. Come to India, we ask next time. Or just believe the word. Yeah, that's probably better. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, sickness and pain. That's what those words mean in the Hebrew. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Prophecy. Did it actually happen? 1 Peter. Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Isaiah, you're going to be healed. 1 Peter, you have been healed. What came in between Isaiah and 1 Peter? The cross. Jesus on the cross. By his stripes were healed. Some people will take that on board. Oh, let's tell people about prosperity. Oh, that's when the proverbial hits the proverbial, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This is talking about the great exchange on the cross. Where did Jesus come from? Heaven. Do you think he had any lack in heaven? Do you think he was missing anything in heaven? Do you think he had any need in heaven? You know, do you think he was absolutely loaded? Now, I don't know what the money is up there, but he was rich. I mean, they make the pavements out of gold. Rich. What did he have on the cross? What did he have on the cross? Absolutely nothing. Contrary to what you see on the rather tame films, he was naked. He had nothing. Nothing on the cross. He went from being rich to being poor so that he could take our poverty to make us rich. For some reason, people don't like that. It's because they don't listen to what I say next. You know, I want to be rich because I want to build a school in India. I don't want a Lamborghini. And my grandland's fine for me. You know, people seem to get upset that when I say to them, I want to be rich. I went to church previously. You were there, weren't you? You were there that day. And I stood up and said, I'm here to tell you today, I want to be rich. So poor Stephen sitting in front, he's almost like, oh. But he had to deal with it. Yeah, I want to be rich. I want to have more money than I know what to do with. I want to be absolutely loaded and rolling in cash. Because my wife knows what to do with it. You know, there's so much we want to do in India. There's so much we want to do here. You know, you think if me and Nancy hadn't worked and made a bit of cash, how could we have got to India to see those miracles? It costs a lot of money to fly to India. We need cash to run the kingdom. And some people just don't seem to get that. It's not, I don't want it for my own needs, although I'm comfortable. Yeah, you can probably see I don't need to skip a meal or two. You know, I'm fine. Yeah, well, you know, I haven't skipped a meal or two. I could do with, thank you, darling. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Just no. What am I trying to say? We can live well. God's not against us living well. I'm not against us living well. But prosperity is to bless others. And we should want that. Why would you not want to be rich? I've spoken to believers about this. They think I'm full of pride and they're being humble because they don't want to be rich. Well, what good works are you giving into? The word says we should be given into all or every good works. Every, you're right. How can you do that if you're not loaded? How can you do that if you're not rolling? I can't give into every good gift. You know, so many people came up to us in India just asking for money. I couldn't give them all money. I didn't have unlimited resources. But if I was absolutely loaded and had pockets full of rupees, I could help more, give into more good works. This is not being selfish. You know what? I'm going to say this. It might get me into trouble, but I'm going to say this. If you're a believer saying you don't want to be rich, you're selfish. Because you're saying, I don't want to give into all good works. I want to be rich as rich as rich. Anyway, I got on a bit of a rant there. So we need to know how we become rich and how we stay healthy, don't we? How we see these gifts of grace through faith manifest in our bodies. Well, it's through knowledge. You know all these verses. You know what I'm going to turn to next. We're going to go to 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We've been given all things already that pertain to life, Zoe life, and godliness. So a fantastic life without sin is kind of what that's saying. We've already been given all we need for that. You've got that in your born-again spirit the second you came to salvation. How do we see it? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. This is an easy verse as well. We've already got it. How do we see it in our bodies? Through knowledge. We believe we've got it. We think we've got it. We speak out that we've got it. We act as if we've got it. That's the way to see it manifest in our lives. Through knowledge. Romans 12, verse 2. All verses that we know, this is all revision. Romans 12, verse 2 is a really difficult verse to talk about in India because they don't understand the concept of metamorphosis. So we try to explain like a caterpillar and a worm becomes a butterfly, whereas we would just say metamorphosis. We all know it. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, metamorphosized by the renewing or renovation of your mind. It's about what we know. We don't twist God's arm through prayer and fasting to heal us. We know he's healed us. We believe he's healed us. We think he's healed us. We speak up that he's healed us, and we act as if we've been healed. That's how we see that manifest. And one final verse before we heal Grant's back. 2 Timothy, healing is progressive sometimes. No condemnation if it's not healed straight away. Remember that. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen to the next bit. Why have we got the word of God? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But I'm already perfect. Yeah, just in my born again spirit. So this says, this is a phenomenal verse. This actually says I can be perfect in my soul, that's my mind, will, and emotions, and in my body. Because of scripture. Because of good doctrine. Because of all scripture. And it's also a brilliant verse because it tells me why we need to be perfect. Is it for us? No. It's furnished unto all good works. There it is again. He's given us healing to be a blessing. He gives us joy and peace to be a blessing. He's given us abundance and prosperity to be a blessing to other people. And I can't understand why believers don't like that. It's wonderful. It's the gospel. Gospel of grace. And we have all those gifts. Gifts from God. Gift of grace. Gifts of grace. Gifts of grace through faith. And gifts of grace through knowledge. No gifts of works. There's only one person that worked for us. Jesus Christ. His work, his perfectly perfect finished work, got us all these other gifts. Friends, don't ask for forgiveness. Thank him. Don't beg and plead him through fasting and prayer to heal you. Increase your knowledge. Use that gift. Amen. Hallelujah.